This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
Welcome to This Deep Dive. If you're joining us today, we actually have a very specific mission. We are cracking open a comprehensive briefing report from August 7, 2026.
Right, and it was provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim, a former lawmaker.
Exactly, and our goal for you today is to really map out this massive, honestly, almost invisible structural shift happening in global tech right now.
Yeah, invisible to a lot of people, but the scale is just, it's staggering.
It really is. We're looking at how China is rapidly fusing AI software, physical robotics, and entirely homegrown silicon chips into this one unified self-reliant ecosystem.
And we can't ignore the geopolitical shockwaves this is causing globally. I mean, it is a profound shift. We're basically moving away from the era of, you know, fragmented tech development and entering this era of forced, highly accelerated integration.
All right. So let's start with the visual for you listening. Think about how a humanoid robot usually gets built. It sounds like, well, a really awkward corporate marriage, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. A hardware company spends years building the metal skeleton, the motors, the physical body.
Yeah.
And completely separately, a software company writes the code, the artificial intelligence, the brain.
Yeah. And then maybe years down the line, they sign a partnership, put them together in a lab, and just sort of cross their fingers that the brain actually knows how to talk to the body.
But according to this briefing report by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim, that old model is just being thrown out the window. It has to be.
Because the traditional parallel tracks for hardware and software
yeah.
just create massive integration bottlenecks.
Right? Exactly. What lawyer Kyung Jin Kim highlights in his report is a completely different approach. And we are actually seeing it play out in the financial markets right now.
Yeah. The prime example being the recent IPO of Unitree Robotics.
Right.
Okay. Let's unpack this because the numbers on this IPO are just staggering. They listed on the Star Market, which, for those who might not follow Chinese equities closely, is essentially their equivalent to the NASDAQ.
Heavily focused on science and tech.
Right. So Unitree locked in a strike price of 150.8 yuan per share.
Yeah.
That creates a valuation of 61 billion yuan. That's roughly 9 billion U.S. dollars. And that strike price is like 45% higher than what the market was expecting.
Which is huge. But why is a robotics company commanding that kind of astronomical premium? I mean, the premium isn't just about the quality of the metal and the motors, you know?
Right. It's about the software side, too.
It's about who bought into the IPO and the completely unprecedented structure of the deal. DeepSeek, which is currently one of the premier AI model developers globally, they came in as a strategic investor.
And they didn't just buy a few shares.
No, they dropped 140.8 million yuan into Unitree with a strict 36-month lockup period.
And Tencent's investment arm jumped in as well. Wait, a 36-month lockup period, meaning DeepSeek can't sell those shares for 3 years.
Exactly. They are strapped in for the long haul. They are entirely committed. But the valuation is really driven by what came next.
The two-way procurement agreement.
Yes, a binding agreement between Unitree and DeepSeek. They've agreed to jointly develop AI models specifically tailored for humanoid robots right from day one.
Right. So when Unitree needs to purchase AI model training services, they are contractually bound to use DeepSeek.
And vice versa. When DeepSeek needs to purchase physical robots for testing or deployment, they must buy from Unitree.
So it's basically a mutual shopping list. They're guaranteeing revenue for each other.
Exactly.
But it's way more than just a financial safety net. It's like putting a supercomputer brain directly into a world-class athlete's body on the very first day they go pro.
That is a highly accurate way to look at it. They are forming a closed-loop ecosystem.
Yeah.
And lawyer Kyung Jin Kim points out the historical significance here. This is mainland China's very first humanoid robot listing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It sends a clear signal to the market that binding robot bodies and AI brains into single foundational contracts is becoming an institutional standard.
It totally removes the guesswork of integration.
Right. The hardware engineers and the AI architects are essentially sharing the exact same blueprint from conception.
But, you know, there is a catch here. A robot, no matter how incredible its titanium joints are, it's really only as smart as its AI model.
Naturally, yeah.
And the AI model powering these Unitree robots, DeepSeek, is about to aggressively change how it does business globally.
They are indeed.
For a long time, if you were a developer building an app, the global assumption was that Chinese AI models were the ultra-budget option, right? And DeepSeek was literally known in the industry as the token price destroyer.
Well, let's define that for a moment for anyone listening. When you use an AI service, the data is broken down into tokens, Think of them as like pieces of words.
Right.
DeepSeek was charging virtually nothing for this computing power. For their V4 flash model, they were charging just 1 yuan for input and 2 yuan for output per million token.
Which is fractions of a penny.
Literally fractions of a penny.
But now, according to their new developer notice, they're hitting users with a massive API price hike. We saw them implement peak pricing during business hours back in July, just to keep their servers from melting down, honestly.
Yeah, the demand was that high.
But now they are raising the base price across the board.
And this is where lawyer Kingjin Kim provides some really critical analysis in the report. He states unequivocally that the premise that Chinese AI is unconditionally cheap, that's officially dead.
It's just textbook platform economics, right? Yeah. A lock leader strategy.
Exactly. Capture the market by practically giving the product away, get everyone hooked, build dependence, and then crank up the dial for profitability.
So what does this all mean for the global market? Because surely these startups saw this coming. You don't build an entire business model on a heavily subsidized API without some kind of backup plan, do you?
You'd be surprised.
I mean, if they didn't calculate the switching costs of migrating their code to another AI model, do they just lose all their negotiating power?
Unfortunately, yes. For the vast majority of mid-sized developers, migrating to a new AI model is incredibly painful.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
It requires rewriting your application's entire logic, retesting all your complex prompts, and risking massive downtime. So if your profit margins only exist because your computing costs were artificially subsidized by DeepSeek, a significant price hike puts you in an existential crisis. You are completely trapped.
And the sheer volume of companies caught in this trap is wild. I was looking at the recent data from OpenRouter, which tracks API usage globally.
And what did it show?
For 14 consecutive weeks, Chinese AI models have completely dominated the top 5 global API calls.
The scale is honestly difficult to comprehend. DeepSeek V4 Flash alone is processing 7.22 trillion tokens a week.
Trillion, with a T.
With a T. When you aggregate all the data, Chinese AI tokens are outpacing US AI tokens by 28.13 trillion to 4.38 trillion.
That is a 6.4x difference in global usage volume. So Chinese AI is handling almost 6.5 times the traffic of U.S. models.
Which creates a brutal environment for competitors.
Yeah, there's a recent Bloomberg report that described this exact dynamic as a death zone for mid-tier U.S. AI companies.
A death zone. It's a fitting term.
Think about it like a real estate market. If you are a mid-tier AI company, you're trying to sell a nice, reliable, suburban house. But you don't have the luxury appeal of a penthouse, like the absolute top-tier performance of models like Anthropic's Fable 5 or OpenAI.
Right, you can't compete on ultimate quality.
Exactly. But at the same time, you can't compete with the landlord down the street who is practically giving away apartments for free. Even before this upcoming price hike, DeepSeek V4 Flash was 1/100th the cost of Fable 5.
Wow.
How does a mid-tier U.S. company survive that squeeze?
They are finding it increasingly impossible, and the walls of that death zone are closing in even faster because of companies like Alibaba.
Right.
Alibaba just announced the release of Qwen 3.8 Max. This is a massive model with 2.4 trillion parameters.
Okay, let's pause there for a second. We hear parameters thrown around a lot in AI news. What does 2.4 trillion parameters actually mean for you, the person using it?
Well, think of parameters as the neural connections in the AI's brain. The more parameters, the more nuanced, complex, and capable the model is at reasoning and generating text.
So it's basically raw horsepower.
Exactly. It also features a 1 million token context window, meaning you could feed it a dozen massive textbooks at once, and it would remember all of it in a single continuous conversation.
That's incredible.
But what is really fascinating here is that Alibaba is releasing the open weights for this max level model. Usually, a company closely guards the core architecture of their top tier models, only letting you rent access to it through an API.
Right, it's a closely held secret.
But Alibaba is letting developers download the foundational architecture itself. And their API pricing is still highly aggressive, just $2 for input and $6 for output per million tokens.
They are essentially handing out near top-tier performance to anyone who wants it, which, again, completely juts the business model of those mid-tier competitors we just talked about.
Exactly. And the geopolitical fragmentation makes it even more complex.
Yeah, take Minimax's H3 video generation model. They also released their open weights, but they explicitly blocked anyone from downloading and running the model locally in the US, the EU, the UK, and Korea.
Wait, really?
Yeah. You can access it through their cloud, but you cannot have the actual files yourself in those specific regions.
Oh, that's right. They cited the ongoing Hollywood copyright lawsuits in the United States and the really severe regulatory uncertainties regarding AI in Europe and Korea.
So we are seeing the global software ecosystem physically fracture along geographical lines.
Which brings up a massive logistical question for lawyer Kim Jin Kim's report.
Right.
If the software ecosystem is fracturing and the West is heavily restricting the export of advanced computing chips to China, how on earth is China processing 28 trillion tokens a week?
Exactly.
How are they training 2.4 trillion parameter models and powering all these fleets of humanoid robots without access to the latest NVIDIA chips?
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because they are restricted from using the main global Silicon Highway, they are simply building a massive parallel highway system of their own.
And the speed of construction is just breathtaking.
Let's talk about memory chips first. You could have the fastest processor in the world, but if it doesn't have the memory to pull data from quickly, it's totally useless. CXMT, which is a major domestic memory player in China, they are scaling up aggressively.
Yeah, the report details that CXMT is currently considering building a second 12-inch DRAM fabrication plant in Beijing.
Which is huge.
If that comes fully online alongside their existing facilities, their production capacity will push past 600,000 wafers a month.
Just to give you some context on that number, 600,000 wafers a month puts them in striking distance of global giants like Micron.
It really does. But what about the actual brains of the operation, the processors actually doing the math?
But domestic acceleration there is just as rapid. In August, Huawei deployed the Ascend 950DT processor on Huawei Cloud. And the performance metrics are formidable. It hits 2 PFLOPS at FP8 precision.
Okay, time out. Translation, please. What is FP8 precision?
Right. So in AI training, the processor doesn't always need to calculate numbers out to, like, 10 decimal places.
Yeah.
FP8, or 8-bit floating point, is a way of crunching numbers with slightly lower precision, but at vastly higher speeds.
Oh, I see.
It is exactly what AI models need to train efficiently. So this Huawei chip can perform 2 quadrillion of those operations per second.
That is serious speed.
And crucially, it comes paired with 144 gigabytes of HBM, or high bandwidth memory.
Right, and think of HBM like a kitchen countertop.
Okay, I like this.
The processor is the chef. If you have the fastest chef in the world but a tiny countertop, cooking slows down because there's just no room to prep the ingredients, right?
Exactly.
High bandwidth memory is like building a massive lightning-fast countertop right next to the chef.
A perfect analogy. So this new Huawei processor is roughly 2.5 times faster than its predecessor, the 910C. And they managed to pull this launch forward from the fourth quarter of the year.
And DeepSeek is already looking at adopting it for their models.
Which ties right back to that closed-loop ecosystem we talked about earlier.
Hmm.
The AI developers are working directly with the domestic chipmakers.
Right.
I saw that another company, Cambricon, has already completed the adaptation of DeepSeek V4 on its Cuin690 chip.
And that adaptation is vital. It means they haven't just, you know, installed the software on the hardware.
Right.
They have fundamentally rewritten and optimized the DeepSeek model to run seamlessly on that specific domestic architecture.
It's custom fit.
Custom fit. And the demand for this domestic integration is so high that Cambricon's manufacturing orders are backed up all the way into 2027.
But wait, if we go back to our humanoid robot from the beginning of the show, the chips is the brain, but it still needs a way to communicate.
Yes, the network.
Right. A robot walking down the street doesn't just download data. It has cameras, microphones, spatial sensors. It has to upload a massive fire hose of sensory data back to the cloud in real time so the AI can tell it how to react.
And that upload requirement is really the hidden bottleneck in the entire AI revolution.
Oh, for sure.
Traditional cellular networks like the 5G currently on your smartphone, they are highly asymmetrical. They are engineered to give you massive download speeds so you can stream a 4K movie on Netflix without buffering.
Because historically, humans don't broadcast nearly as much data as they consume.
Right. But an AI agent consumes the real world and broadcasts it back to the server. So how are they solving this massive upload bottleneck?
They are completely re-architecting the telecom infrastructure. China Unicom, in partnership with Huawei, just fired up the world's largest 5GA large uplink commercial network in Beijing.
Wow. We are talking about 10,000 base stations across a single city.
Correct. By combining the 3.5 gigahertz and 2.1 gigahertz frequency bands, this network achieves a staggering 1 gigabit per second upload peak.
That's wild.
With a sustained average around 397 megabits per second. It is a network custom built not for humans streaming video, but for AI agents and robots streaming high fidelity reality back to the servers instantly.
And it isn't just an urban experiment either. China Mobile is rolling out 5GA premium services on high-speed rail networks across 31 provinces, supporting 2 gigabits per second downlinks.
It's everywhere.
So let's look at the picture we are painting here. You have the robotic hardware contractually tied to the AI software. The AI software is heavily optimized for domestic chips.
Right.
And the domestic chips are connected by a custom-built 5G network designed specifically for AI data loads. It is a massive state-backed drive for complete end-to-end technological self-reliance.
It's a fortress. But, you know, this immense effort towards self-reliance is not happening in a vacuum. China is still deeply entangled in the global supply chain.
Yes.
Which brings us to a highly controversial dynamic that lawyer Kyungjin Kim highlights in his report. It involves the very export controls designed by the West to slow China down.
The Reuters report. This is where geopolitics starts acting like a boomerang.
Exactly.
The report claims that South Korean semiconductor titans, Samsung and SK Hynix, have been testing Chinese AMEC etching equipment for 2 years at their fabrication plants in Xi'an, Dalian, and Wuxi.
Now, we have to state clearly here that both Samsung and SK Hynix have officially denied this report.
Yes, that is important to note.
But regardless of the denial, the structural pressures that would cause such a thing are very, very real.
Highly real. To understand why this is so explosive, you really have to understand what etching equipment is.
Okay, lay it out for us.
When you manufacture a microchip, you are essentially carving microscopic roads and cities into a wafer of silicon. The etching machine uses plasma or chemicals to carve those trenches with literal atomic precision.
It's mind-boggling tech.
It is, and historically, this highly complex equipment is exclusively dominated by a few Western companies.
So if you are Samsung or SK Hynix operating state-of-the-art fabs inside China, you normally just import that Western equipment. Why would you even consider testing a domestic Chinese alternative?
Because of the regulatory cliff approaching in December 2026.
Right?
Samsung and SK Hynix previously operated under something called Validated End User, or VEU, status. This was a U.S. designation that allowed them to smoothly import advanced Western equipment into their Chinese facilities without individual licenses.
But that status was revoked in 2025.
Exactly. They are currently operating on an annual exemption for 2026, but that exemption expires entirely on December 31st, 2026.
Wow, so the clock is ticking loudly.
Extremely loudly. If you are running a multi-billion dollar fabrication plant, you cannot operate on year-to-year guesswork. If the U.S. government suddenly decides not to renew that exemption for 2027, those Korean fabs could be instantly cut off from Western maintenance, spare parts, and new machinery.
They would be essentially bricked. Billions of dollars in infrastructure just frozen.
Which brings us to lawyer Kyungjin Kim's ultimate paradox. To mitigate this existential risk, international manufacturers operating in China are being structurally forced to find domestic backups.
It makes perfect business sense from their perspective.
Right. But the U.S. sanctions were implemented to starve the Chinese equipment makers of the revenue and technical validation they need to advance.
But by putting that December 2026 expiration date on the calendar, the policy is inadvertently handing the Chinese equipment ecosystem the holy grail of research and development.
Exactly.
It is forcing global tier one manufacturers to take Chinese machines, put them inside the most advanced fabrication facilities on the planet, and stress test them. The sanctions are practically doing the R&D for them.
It is the very definition of a boomerang effect, or, you know, unintended consequences. As we inch closer to that December expiration date, the tension and the push toward integrating these domestic alternatives will only amplify.
So what does this all mean for you listening to this right now? I mean, it can be so easy to dismiss discussions about memory chips, telecom uplinks, and export controls as distant, high-level geopolitical maneuvering that just doesn't affect your daily life.
Oh, but it does.
Immensely. As of right now, there are nearly 1,000 registered generative AI services in China.
The sheer scale of this integration is what really matters. We are witnessing the fusion of aggressive AI software pricing models, rapid deployment of physical robotics, a massive expansion of domestic silicon, and a custom-built telecommunications network.
It is an entirely new center of gravity in the tech world.
And eventually, the economies of scale generated by this parallel ecosystem will ripple outward to the rest of the globe.
It will redefine the price, the capabilities, and the underlying architecture of every smart device, every app, and every AI service you interact with.
The hardware and software are no longer just talking to each other across a room. They are being forged in the exact same fire, completely isolated from the West.
Which leaves us with a final perhaps slightly unsettling question to consider today.
Yeah, this entire parallel ecosystem is evolving at this breakneck pace, specifically because it is under immense geopolitical pressure. The export controls and the sanctions forced the innovation. They forced the self-reliance.
Right.
So what happens if or when those pressure valves are finally released? Does this period of enforced isolation eventually birth an unassailable, globally dominant monopoly that the rest of the world simply cannot compete with?
Are we just forcing the creation of a cyborg that doesn't need anyone else's parts?
Yeah.
Something for you to mull over until next time. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
This program is provided by lawyer Kai Eun-jin Kim.
For more from the same network, follow Daily AI News from Seoul on Apple Podcasts.